28, just from verse 16. We read, Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then, this is the bit we're most interested in today, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Go and make disciples of all nations, Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we might just take a few moments to think about, what does that mean? What is he saying about baptism? There's three bits of the command, right? There's baptize, the command to baptize. Then there's the bit that's in the name of, and then there's the name itself. All right, the first bit, baptize, that's actually quite easy. Baptize basically means to dunk, to dip into water and out again. So Jesus says, put people into water and out again. All right, we've seen that. We can understand what that looks like. What about then, in the name of? That's quite a strange phrase, isn't it, in the name of? What does that mean? When I was a kid, I used to really enjoy Asterix comics. I actually still really like Asterix comics. Asterix comics are about a Gaulish warrior, and he's often fighting the Romans. And quite often in the comics, a Roman centurion would be at a door, knocking on it. And he would shout, open up in the name of Caesar. Open up in the name of Caesar. Now, even as a kid, I got a sense of what that meant. Open up in the name of Caesar. Who is the top dog? Is it the centurion or is it Caesar? Caesar. In the name of means this person's really important. And the centurion, he's there on the authority of Caesar. He's there because Caesar's told him to be there, to do the mission that Caesar's asked him to do. And also, the centurion has Caesar's backing. So whoever's in the house, they're not just seeing the centurion knocking on the door. They're, as it were, seeing Caesar behind him. So they don't open the door because the centurion says. They open the door because Caesar says so. He comes in the name of Caesar. To put it another way, I'm on his team. Open up, I'm on Caesar's team. In the name of, on the team of. So baptize in the name of means dunk someone because you're on Jesus' team. Dunk someone because they're on Jesus' team. They're with Jesus. He's the great one. And they're now with him. All right. Dunk someone on Jesus' team. In the name of. Now, Jesus gives the name. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's strange. Because there are three people, as it were. But he doesn't say, in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. That's how you do with three people that we are used to. But he says, in the single name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What's going on there? Well, the Bible tells us there is one God, one name. And yet, at the same time, there are three persons in the one God. You may have come across this idea of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, as he's sometimes referred to. One God, three persons, at the same time. Does that make sense? No. It doesn't. It doesn't make sense to me. Is that a problem, though? Is it a problem that something about God doesn't make sense to me? Well, let me ask you, is it a problem to a small child that they don't understand how their eye works? I don't really know how an eye works. How can a squishy ball of stuff in your head mean that you can detect what color the curtains are over there? That makes no sense to me, right? How can that be? Does it matter? No. My eye works fine. I can see the curtains. And I know how to relate to my eye, like a little kid does. Don't poke it. Maybe eat some carrots. You know how to relate to it, even though you don't understand it fully. And that's just a bit of your body, right? We're talking about God here. Jesus is talking about God who made everything and is greater than everything. Would we expect, if we can't even understand a bit of our bodies, to fully understand the God who made us? No. In fact, it'd be weird if you understood him. He'd be kind of boring and predictable. The Bible tells us that God is greater than us. And one way that he's greater than us is one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to make sense. You don't have to understand it to be able to get your head around it to know who God is and how to relate to him. So, we've seen what Jesus says. Dunk someone because they're on Jesus' team, because they're on God's team. And who is God? One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So at this point, I want to ask everyone, a blunt question. Whose team are you on? Whose team are you on? Whose name are you in? Now, I'm not talking about sport. We might have a team we're on there. No, I mean something deeper than that. Who have you given your life to? If you were asked, like Nicola was, to stand up in front of a group of people and say what you're about, right? You were going to say, here's who I am and here's what I'm about. Here's what I'm for. Here's what I'm living for. What would you say? Now, maybe that feels like a really big question. Maybe a question you've never thought about before. But my hunch is, even if you've never thought about that question before, you have a sense that I should be able to answer that. I should know what my life's about. Otherwise, what am I doing? It'd be weird to have a job and not know what it was for. It'd be weird to study for something and not know where it was going. It'd be weird to live a life and not know what it was about. Well, one answer people give to this question, whose life are you living for? Who are you giving your life for? They would say, well, I'm living for myself, actually. Do what I want. Live my way. Maybe that's you. Can I gently say, that's not good enough. It just isn't. I'm not having a go at you. Just we, people, human beings, mere humans, we're not enough to be worth a life. This will never happen. But if someone said, I am living for Gareth Lowe. If someone said that, 99.9999% of the world's population would say, who? And the tiny fraction of the world who do know me would say, him. Seriously, I'm not worth it, am I? I'm not. I'm not worth a life. So I can't give myself my life. That's I'm shortchanging myself. You have a life. You have a soul. You are precious. Just to give it for yourself, that's not enough. Jesus invites you to give your life to someone greater. Someone actually worthwhile. Nicholas said, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Because anyone who lives for themselves, they end up with nothing. But anyone who lives for God, Jesus says, the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, well, they get everything. Nicola told us this morning that she's on God's team. And one of the wonderful things, we haven't got time to look at it, but I just want to mention it. That means that God is with her. Jesus says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age, to the end of time, and then we go to be with God. God is with you. Jesus is with you, Nicola. Now, I hope, just as we think about that, you feel a sense of, yes, there's something good here. We haven't got time to go into every question. But I do want to tell you how to get onto God's team. How do you get onto God's team? Well, baptism is a good picture of that. Because did Nicola baptize herself? No. It was something done to her. She submitted to it. I mean, she didn't fight, did she? She let us do it. She allowed it, but she didn't baptize herself. Sally and I baptized her. It's as easy as falling over. All right, going under the water, sure, that's easy, but being on God's team, that can't be as easy as going under the water and out again, can it? Surely it costs more. I've got to pay the price up front. Well, again, we've heard this morning that that's not the case. Do you know how much we charge for baptizing people? Do you know what invoice is going to land on the doormat tomorrow? Nothing. No, we don't charge to baptize people. Because, much more importantly, Jesus doesn't charge you to come on God's team. It's open and it's free. Just like an invitation to a party, just come. An invitation, just come. See, the price has already been paid by Jesus. Nicola mentioned that we are sinners. That we have gone our own way, we've lived for ourselves. But Jesus paid the price on the cross when he died to take away the punishment we deserve. And he rose to life. If you just, when you go home, maybe just flick back at a few verses in Matthew's gospel, you'll read of Jesus dying and coming back to life, being raised from the dead. And now he has all authority. All authority is Jesus. And so Jesus, he invites us, and he also commands us. We wouldn't expect the Lord of all to do anything less than tell us what to do. He knows best. And he commands us. He orders us to follow him. And it applies to everyone. It's a gracious invitation. It's a loving command to everyone. Because Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of, he doesn't say some nations. He doesn't say of your mates. He says all nations, all people. And that means wherever you're from, Jesus invites you today to come onto God's team. Whatever your background, whether you've grown up with church or not, Jesus commands you, come onto God's team. It's for you. It's for you. And you can be on his team as simply as accepting, like Nicola has, accepting the gracious offer of Jesus, the risen Lord, who paid the price for our wrongdoing. All right, what does it look like going forwards then? Because it does change you. It's not like a transactional thing and then you wander off and never go to church again or just do carry on doing your own thing. It does change you. What does it look like going forwards? By the way, if you're hot, I am too, so I'm feeling that. It's warm. We'll speed up. What does it look like to be on God's team? Obedience. Doing what Jesus says. You see, there's two parts. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Obey. It's not a very nice word, is it, obey? Particularly in our sort of culture. People don't like being told what to do. And yet, we feel it deep down. Haven't you ever felt like, I want to know what the right thing is? Wouldn't it be weird if the person who knew the right thing to do didn't tell you to do it? Jesus tells us the right thing to do. So, Nicola, obey Jesus. Because he's in charge. He's the Lord, he knows everything. And he loves you the most. All followers of Jesus today, obey him and learn his teachings. Keep coming to church. Keep reading his word that you can learn and obey. Everything. All of it. The nice and the easy and the hard and the difficult. Not because I say so, but because Jesus does. That's part of being on God's team. Jesus paid the price and he is Lord of all. Now we give him our lives. Might I just speak to people, regulars at Christ Church, part of the family here? Last week, we were looking in Matthew chapter 10, and we saw that Jesus divides, and disciples have to decide. Well, the baptism we've seen today is a reminder to us of the moment of deciding, of choosing to be on God's team. And it's right for me to say, if you're a believer in Jesus, and you haven't been baptized yet, do. Be baptized. Because Jesus commands you to. He tells you to. We've actually got another baptism coming up on the 16th of July, like buses. 16th of July. Grace Keir is going to be baptized. She wasn't available for this Sunday, so we're doing it again. And I think we're going to have it out there this time. So a shorter walk. Have you been baptized? Are you a follower of Jesus? Come speak to me or Ian afterwards. And if I want to say, if the big crowd puts you off, we can find a way of maybe doing it with slightly fewer people watching you. We appreciate it can be a tricky thing. We want to help you to obey the command that Jesus has given. Also, people of Christ Church, I want to ask you a question. It's not a rhetorical question. Do we want to see more of what we've seen today? Yes. Don't we? Do we want to hear more stories like that? Of people whose lives have been transformed. Who remind us of ourselves that we were lost and now we've been found. Well, the wonderful thing is that Nicola has been baptized. The sad thing is we don't get to do it again. So if we want more, we need to tell others. Share the good news of Jesus. One thing that encouraged me this week, following last week's sermon actually, there was a bit, I don't know if you were here, maybe if you were, you might remember, we imagined in our minds telling someone who doesn't know Jesus that we are not just a Christian, but we follow Jesus. Do you remember that? We imagined doing that. Well, I heard this week that someone actually did that. Kind of heard indirectly. I got their permission. Afterwards, I'm not going to share their name. But they met someone this week they'd never met before. And they were chatting. And this new person realized, oh, you know, from your life story, you're a Christian, are you? And the person from Christchurch said, yes. And then they said, I've been saved by Jesus. Yes! Isn't that good? Isn't that the gospel? I've been saved by Jesus. So simple. And look, there are no tricks. But that person, right there, right then, in a non-threatening way, right between the eyes, truth in love, the gospel, that I need saving, and Jesus has done it. I don't just go to church. I'm not a Christian by whatever you mean. I'm a Christian by Jesus. And that encouraged me, my friends, because I could do that. I could do that. I work for a church, so it's quite often people say, oh, so you're like a churchy person. And I could just say, yeah. Or I could say, I've been saved by Jesus. You could do that too. Because you have the Spirit. Father, Son, and Spirit. Jesus is with you. This week, Jesus is with you. In those conversations, Jesus is with you. What if we all told someone this week? Might there be some fruit of that down the track in God's kindness? Wouldn't that be a great thing? Wouldn't that be a great thing to have more of today? Right, it's selfish, right? Because we get to enjoy that. What a beautiful thing we've heard. It was a lifetime in the making, that testimony. And we got to hear it. Thank you for sharing it. What a privilege. But it's better for the person giving it. They now know God. They're on his team. He is with them. And it's for his glory. It's not for ours. It is right. It is fitting. So let me wrap up now. Nicola, you're one of God's people. Jesus is with you, and he always will be. And no one can take that away from you. No one. You have a heavenly Father. You have the risen Son. You have the Spirit in your heart. God is with you always. And disciples of Jesus, that is true of each of you. And friends, guests, this offer is open to you, just like it was to us. The difference between someone before and someone afterwards, it's Jesus. That's the difference. And we'd love you to know him. So if anything you've seen today or heard or thought has just made you think, I've got a question. Or it sounds totally nonsense. And yet, I just want to ask. Please come and speak to us. Don't leave here today if this is something you just feel in your heart is worth exploring. Speak to Nicola. Speak to me or to Ian. Or to maybe the Christian friend who brought you. We would love to share with you more, to get to know you better and introduce you to the person who loves you the most. You won't regret it. Musicians are going to come up, and we're going to sing one last time a song that Nicola has chosen. We are people of the risen King, and so we can rejoice in the good times and in the difficult, knowing that we will be with him forever. So please, friends, if you're able, let's stand and sing.